If I need to move up, just let me know.
I'll just pause it, please. Put it up if you want.
Thanks. Hello, everyone. It's great to be here. I like the refurbishment. It's lovely. I don't know what it was like before, but it's certainly nice now. Yeah, it's very warm and welcoming. And yeah, thanks for your welcome, Lynn. It's good to be here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. My name's Glenn. I'm the pastor of New Life Baptist Church in Northallerton. But I'm not from there. I'm from Scotland. I was born in Glasgow. I grew up there, lived there for 30 years. I started out working in banking for 20-odd years. I worked for two banks, Clydesdale Bank in Glasgow and then a TSB in Edinburgh. When we joined a church in Linlithgow, when I moved to Edinburgh, that's a little town just west of Edinburgh, we started worshipping at a church called St. John's, and we got more and more involved in the life of the church, they took me on as their associate pastor. I studied for a theology degree and became the pastor there for the next 12 years. And our kids kind of grew up there. They're still in Scotland. We've got three sons. And they all kind of moved out. And we just felt God moving us on to a new adventure south of the border. So here I am. We came down to Northallerton 5 years ago, and we love the North of England. So it's great to be here with you today, and I really pray that the Lord blesses you as a church as you work through the process of thinking about, you know, where you're going as a church and who you want to lead you in that vision. Let me just pray, shall we? Lord, we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill this church, fill this body of Christ here in Whitley Bay. I thank you for each one of them, and I thank you for how you're building your church here. I thank you for Paul the pastor and his leadership team and all the people of this church, and I pray your blessing on him today and on his sabbatical time as he gets ready for retirement and the what next for him and his family. And also for this church as they start to think through where you're leading them, Lord Jesus, we pray just your blessing on each one and ask that you will guide by your Spirit, your beautiful, gentle Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So the Bible gives us this picture of Jesus interceding at the Father's right hand for us, the church. It's right there in Romans, I think it's chapter 8. And it also tells us in the Bible that Jesus is the head of the church, isn't he? He's head of the worldwide church down through the ages, and he is head of this church here, your church, Whitley Bay Baptist Church. And so as Jesus intercedes for us in heaven, he invites us to join him in prayer. As you get ready to call a new pastor here at this church. And we find this beautiful prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in two places in the Gospels. We're going to use Matthew's Gospel this morning. And it's right in the middle, bang in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus gives us wonderful impossible picture of how he wants his people to live in as kingdom people. And as we read it, we think, well, this is impossible. You know, we can't do this. The church and God's people have tried for centuries to live up to God's standard and failed time and time again. And so Jesus drops this prayer right in the middle of this vision for God's people. And he says, pray this, live this, do this, and God's Spirit will empower you to live the Jesus way. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. It's kind of like, any Doctor Who fans here? It's kind of like Doctor Who's TARDIS. It doesn't really look like much on the outside. It's just a few words. I think in the original it's something like 60 words. And yet when you open it up and go inside, it's vast and expansive, and it will take you to the ends of the earth. And it's full of power to transform us and transport us. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. And in this complex and often shallow world, we long, and all people long for this, we long for simplicity, don't we? We long for simplicity in this world that we live in. But we also long for depth. We long for God to take us deeper. We know in ourselves that there's more to life than just what we're presented with by this culture. It's an inch deep. Loads of information, but very little knowledge and wisdom. And so we need a God who's going to take us deep. So use this prayer, kind of like a sat-nav, as you travel through this process over the next year or so. And as you kneel beside the Lord Jesus, he will draw you closer to the Father in love and worship. And by his Spirit, he will guide you to the right person to lead this church in the mission of God, which he's given you here. So rather than read it, let's pray it. So I'll say a couple of lines, and then let's use the prayer as it's designed to be used, as a kind of launch pad for our prayer. So I'll say a couple of lines of the Lord's Prayer, and then I just invite you, where you are, just to speak out your prayers in response to what I've prayed. Shall we stand to do this? Yeah. So don't be shy, get ready, and just speak out what God lays in your heart. Short sentences of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Bless your name, Lord Jesus, for your grace and your mercy.
Amen.
Great and glorious God.
That's true, absolutely. Bless you, God. Amen. That's right. Bless you, Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That's right. Amen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, hear the prayers of your people as we pray with you this morning. And Holy Spirit, take these prayers and return them to earth with power for the praise of your glorious name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. So let's use the flow of this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, to explore together today God's vision for you, first of all, as a worshipping community, secondly, as a kingdom community, and thirdly, as a covenant community together. And hopefully by doing this over the coming months, you'll start to get a picture of the kind of pastor you're looking for. So what is God's vision for you as a, first of all, a worshipping community? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The whole prayer emanates from these words. A beautiful pairing, two lines of four words bursting with life. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's almost like they're singing to each other. And in fact, it is. It's the song of heaven. It's the song of creation, and it's the song of the church. Our world is having an identity crisis, isn't it? We see this everywhere we look. We see it in politics. People no longer know who to vote for. We see it in gender fluidity. Everything's changing, and the people's belief systems are changing too. Things seem a lot more complex than they used to be. And the pace of change is getting faster and faster. I don't know about you, but often I feel it is just hard to keep up and know what to think. In the midst of all of this, the church needs to take care that we don't lose our identity in the process. So how do we as Christians today witness in the midst of all these changes, like Jesus would, full of grace and truth? That's how Jesus witnessed, and the order's very important, full of grace and truth. Jesus came, and he came into a specific cultural situation, and he loved people. He showed them grace, and because he did that, they gave him permission to speak the truth to them. And that's how the church should be too. So, like Jesus, we have to witness out of our identity as children of God. He's the Son of God, and we're his little brothers and sisters. Jesus was completely secure in his relationship with God, his Father. Nothing could separate them. They were one. Nothing could touch that, not even death, as we know from the Gospels. A number of years ago, I was lying on a beach in Portugal in the Algarve, with my three sons. They were younger back then. It was my wife Janet's birthday, so she had skedaddled off to have a day on her own, and I had the kids. So they were messing about at the water's edge, and I had one eye on a book and one eye on them to make sure they were okay. And they gradually caught my attention because they were watching these Portuguese boys jumping off the cliffs. You know, the beaches in the Algarve, they're often surrounded by cliffs, and there was these boys jumping off the cliffs into the water. And they were impressed with this. And they had seen a little rock about 50 yards out to sea, and they wanted to go out to this little rock and jump off it. But they were scared because it was out of their depth. So they would get to about here and then come running up back up the beach towards me because they were scared. And this went on for a while. And eventually, I didn't say anything. I just put the book down. I walked into the water, swam out, and sat on the rock. And within minutes, from the oldest to the youngest, the three of them were beside me on the rock, jumping off the rocks, having a great time. And what had changed? Nothing. Nothing had changed in terms of their context. They were still on a rock in the middle of the ocean, out of their depths. The only thing that had changed was that where their father was. See, before, the safe place for them was on the beach beside their father. Afterwards, the safe place was on this rock in the middle of the ocean beside their father. And as I was sitting there, God spoke into my thought life and he said this, "Glenn, I'm your safe place. Glenn, I am your safe place." And I've never forgotten that. And it stood me in good stead because it's true, isn't it? And God says to you as a church today, I am your safe place. Whatever situation you find yourself in today as an individual, whatever's going on in your life that's crowding in on you, God says to you today, I am your safe place. And as a church, as you start to think about this process, and maybe get a bit fearful about the what next or whatever, God says to you today, don't worry, I'm your safe place. Everything will be fine. You're fine with me. And I just encourage you to see God as that sanctuary space for you as a church together in the days ahead. God is your safe place. And he's calling you out into the deep with him. Don't be afraid. Follow the Lord Jesus. He knows what he's doing. Don't be fazed by the ever-shifting culture that you inhabit. God isn't fazed by that. Find your delight, your security, your rest, your daily worship in the presence of God, your Abba Father. This is the antidote to the orphan spirit, which is robbing our culture and our society of the security and purpose which can only be found in relationship with God. You have the answer to their problems, this community's problems, this culture's problems, and the answer's God your Father, God their Father. So don't be afraid. Be the kind of worshipping community and people that worshipping community that people will recognize something in you which they don't have, and deep down in their souls they are longing for it. They just can't describe it. They don't have a name for it, but you do. So be that open, welcoming church community, which, you know, your new layout says you're welcome. That's what I felt when I came in here. Throw wide the doors and welcome people in, and you can be a blessing to this community, as I'm sure you are already. And look for a pastor who knows the Father like this. Someone who knows the way to the Father and can lead you and others into his presence. One of the things we're doing in New Life is developing the gift of prophecy in the life and ministry of our church. And I asked in advance some of our people to listen to God on your behalf. So I didn't tell them in about your church because I don't know anything about your church. And I didn't tell them what I was going to say. I just asked them to pray and tell me what they received. And so I'm going to pass it on to you for your testing. So Ruth says this, I felt God say it is a time of new beginnings for Whitley Bay. But don't overcomplicate things. There may be lots of things you want to do or new ventures to start and different directions to take the church. But keep it simple. Focus on God, His love, His presence, worshipping Him, praying with Him. And all the exciting things will come in the future. But keep doing the important basics for now as you seek a new pastor. And seek a pastor with a heart for these things. Don't get distracted by all the amazing things a pastor can lead you into doing as a church. And instead, focus on a pastor with a focus on being with God. So that's from Ruth. And if we look wider in the Sermon on the Mount, we find these words in Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So get that bit right. Seek God's kingdom. Follow Jesus. Follow the Jesus way. And the other stuff will fall into place. Marjorie says this, after praying and seeking, this is the word that God has confirmed to me for the church. Isaiah 66, verse 2, in the Message version. But there is something I'm looking for, a person, simple and plain, reverently responsive to what I say. I like that phrase. Reverently responsive. There's not much reverence from God in our culture, is there? In fact, our culture is becoming the exact opposite of this. Constantly dreaming up new ways to make fun of God and do the opposite of what he says. That's our culture. So the church needs leaders who will help her do what God says. And we are called to worship God by doing what he says. Yes, it's worship. And that was wonderful this morning, Mark. Thank you for leading us in worship. But worship, of course, as you know, is more than that. It's doing what God says. It's being obedient to God. Reverently responsive. Hallowed be your name. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you cry out, Abba Father, and to help you cry out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's not forget that this is a big God we worship. Yeah, it's good to call him Abba. Of course it is. That's what he wants. But let's not forget the wondrous nature and the just the grandeur of the living God. I'll pass these words on to your leaders and I encourage you to test them together. Keep what you feel is from God and ignore the rest. So what is God's vision for you as a kingdom community? Well, when Jesus began to preach his message, it was straightforward and to the point. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And these words, this message, still works today. Let's not be afraid to call people to repent, because that's what we need to do as human beings. We need to turn around and follow Jesus. And when Jesus' disciples asked him how to pray, he said, pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our lives as it is in heaven. And for that to happen, we need to repent. don't we, and turn around and follow Jesus. The other things the Gospels repeatedly tell us is that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, he was full of the Spirit, and he ministered in the power of the Spirit. So look for a pastor who's focused on God's coming kingdom and is filled with the Spirit. Someone who can recognize where the Spirit is at work already in your church and community and lead you in that direction. Someone who equips you and releases you whilst building in accountability. That's what Jesus did. He invested himself in a small group of disciples and a wider group of disciples. And before they knew it and before they were ready for it, he immediately sent them out, didn't he? To do the kingdom stuff. And then they reported back to him, telling him how they got on. So don't look for someone who's going to do everything for you. That's not what you need. Look for a pastor who is secure enough to release others into their giftings. A pastor who will send you out to work in God's kingdom and then invite you back to report on your successes and failures. You want a leadership that's going to release you into this community for the benefit and the growth of God's kingdom. Week by week, gather and disperse. Carriers of the good news. Carriers of a public faith, not a private faith, as we are told by a culture we need to be. We say no to that. But as Peter puts it, we're always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope we have in us with gentleness and respect. That's the way for the church today to have a public faith. Not to hide in a corner, but to be out there, but gently and with respect. One of the ways we're seeing this work in our own town is through the growing unity of the churches. And it seems to me that this is a Holy Spirit initiative nationwide. I'm sure you're seeing it in your own time. It's evidenced throughout our country. God is bringing us together as his church. Isn't that what Jesus prayed for in John 17? And under the banner of One Northallerton, we've identified three kingdom projects which we have committed as churches to work together on. One's welcoming Syrian refugees. One's reaching out to people in the new house and estates in the town. And another's an initiative called the Living Rooms, which reaches out through a cafe facility and a space for people who are struggling with various issues just to come and be and get a cup of coffee and have someone come alongside them and a prayer room for them to go and pray in. Focusing on God's mission together as churches has transformed our relationships as leaders and as people in the town. And it is a witness to those outside the church because they can see that the churches care about them together. It takes considerably more effort to work together, but it's worth it because the fruitfulness is much greater. Because we are fulfilling that prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, that we may be one just as he and the Father are one, so that the world might believe that God has sent Jesus. So look for a pastor who has a heart to work with other churches in this community. And I know you do this already. Look for someone who will create a kingdom culture in your church. A culture of mutual trust and bold faith. A culture which says, we believe that the God who took up residence in our world, setting people free emotionally, physically, and spiritually, is still at work in Whitley Bay today. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
God's at work. He's not changed. So Holy Spirit, send us a pastor with heavenly DNA. We don't want someone to come here and build their own kingdom. You want, I'm telling you what you want, but forgive me. Perhaps you want a man or a woman to continue to build your kingdom, God's kingdom here with this people. So when people come to interview and preach, listen out for God's kingdom values. Don't fall into the trap of recruiting someone who is different to Paul Newman just because you fancy a change. That's a mistake a lot of churches make. Look for the person who has God's heart for his kingdom to come in this church and this community in the years ahead. So lastly, what's God's vision for you as a covenant community, a people together with God? Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Please forgive me. This is my first time in Whitley Bay. And it looks lovely. It seems like a nice community. But I don't need to have been here before to know about some of the things which people in this community and this church will be struggling with. Loneliness. It's an epidemic in our nation. Lack of purpose. Poverty and hunger. Broken relationships. And the consequences of wrong choices. Martin Luther King often referred to the church as the beloved community. And I just love that phrase, because it sums up in a couple of words the covenant identity of the church. We are a beloved community. We are loved. We are loved by the God of the universe. We are loved by God, and therefore we love each other and we love our neighbors. And we are a community which pastorally cares for one another and the people around you. A community with forgiveness in its heart. Such an important thing. Not holding on to 20-year grudges, but willing to forgive and be forgiven too. So if that's something you need to work through together as a church, do it in the next year. Because if there's unforgiveness amongst us, it will hinder the mission of God. And it will make us unhealthy, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So, you know, do the tough stuff. Receive God's forgiveness and forgive one another. Be a community which takes its calling to disciple one another seriously. Helping one another to stay on track. Not afraid to challenge each other when we take the wrong turn. A beloved community made in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's build churches in the image of God, not ourselves. Look for a pastor who will help you to build that kind of church in the likeness of God. So here's another word from our Listening to God group for you. It's from Jane. As I spent time seeking what God may want to share with Whitley Bay Baptist Church over the last week, this is what stuck with me. A leader who listens and a leader who is willing to learn. I like the Message version of James 1, verse 18. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger struggle along in the rear. Proverbs 10 also is poignant, 10:17. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. What Jane is describing here is a humble leader. Not, I'm not talking about character types here. I'm not talking about extrovert versus introvert. Either of these types of people can be humble. So that's what we should be looking for. And is that not what Jesus was and is? He is the humble king. What you're looking for is someone who remembers who the church belongs to and understands his or her own limitations and seeks to build a church and a leadership team with complementary gifts and skills that will ensure they leave behind a healthy, vibrant church. When the devil tempted Jesus after his baptism, there was a lot of subtle undermining of who Jesus was. If you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God, do that. But Jesus, full of the Spirit, responded with the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. And the evil one's tactics haven't changed since then. He will cast doubt on your identity as children of God, and he will take scripture and twist it to tempt you to bow down and worship him. So look for a pastor who's full of the Spirit and immersed in God's word. Someone who can tell the difference between the true light and artificial light. Isn't that how the devil comes to us? He masquerades as an angel of light. We need leaders who know Orthodox Christian faith, who know where God is calling their church, and who know God's word so that when they can see counterfeit, when they see counterfeit, they can recognize it and protect the church. Look for a pastor who will equip the people of this church to stand on their own two faith feet and resist the devil. Yes, we're a body together, but often we're out there on our own. And you need to be equipped to handle God's word with wisdom and sensitivity and understanding and apply it to the issues that you are facing. Someone who will help you learn how to do that. At New Life, from tomorrow, we're starting a new teaching series, and it's called Bringing the Bible to Life. Bringing the Bible to Life. And the instruction to everyone who's got one of the life issues that we're working through together, thinking about how Scripture speaks to it, the instruction to them is this: don't tell the people what to think. Tell them how to think biblically. Equip them to think for themselves. So be that kind of covenant community, full of the Spirit, immersed in God's word, because ultimately it's your responsibility to learn how to do that as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. Be a community that knows where to look for guidance, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then to put it into practice. A community of the Spirit and the Word. And lastly, sorry if I've gone 5 minutes over. Look after your pastor, Paul, in this process. It's a vulnerable time for him and his family. And he's doing a courageous thing by making room for you to start this process now. He's not asked me to say this, by the way, he hasn't. So be kind and considerate. Choose your words carefully when discussing the future with him. And think about the effect your words might have on him. Above all else, encourage him. Because we've to encourage one another as long as it's called today. That's what it says in Hebrews. So encourage your pastor. Thank him for investing himself in your church for many years and assure him that your aim is to see the church he loves flourish and grow. because that's what will be in his heart for your future. Let me pray, and then we'll split into groups. Father God, we worship you. We worship your name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, I pray you'll bless this worshiping community. Draw them close to you. May they know you as Abba and as Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. Bring your kingdom here. You're the King, Lord Jesus, and we are your people. And it's not just this church that belongs to you, this community belongs to you too. So, Holy Spirit, extend the borders of your kingdom in this town as churches work together for the praise of your glorious name. We pray the kingdom will come in hearts and lives through the work of this church in your kingdom, in this place. And I pray you'll knit them together as your people, brothers and sisters, following the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Fill them with your forgiveness. Help them to turn to you and follow you and offer that forgiveness to a community which is full of broken relationships, crying out for your healing, Lord God. I pray that this church here will be a community of blessing, a covenant community for this place. And Lord, we pray for today now as we chew the fat together, as we take what's in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and speak them out together. Give us grace for each other. Help us to listen to one another. And through this process, Holy Spirit, as an act of worship, we pray that you will just bring out the pure gold that you want us to take out of this day. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.